blackmail. This program was produced by Edward McMillan. I want to also thank the producers of the Rachel Maddow Show for that clip which we borrowed. Well said, Ms. Maddow. I'm Douglas Everett. This is Radio Parallax. We'll see you next week.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I'm your host, Deborah Lucero, Director of Friends of the Arts Butte County, a state local partner with the California Arts Council. I also head up Butte County Economic Development Corporation. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond. This show is designed to explore our rich history of natural, historical, cultural, arts, and business assets. And we have some folks that we want to thank. Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festivals and events, including Arttoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, producers of locally crafted ales and beers since 1981. The Sierra Nevada Brewing Company also offers fine dining at their taproom and restaurant at 1075 East 20th Street in Chico. More information at sierranevada.com. All right, folks. I'm excited that tonight we have in studio a couple of guests that are going to come up a little bit later talking about new media opportunities, and they're very exciting. I know I'm excited by it. And we also have on the telephone line, I believe, Roberta Kirshner. Roberta, are you there?
Yes, good evening, Deborah.
Hi, Roberta. Roberta Kirshner is with the Kirshner Wildlife Foundation, and this is an incredible accredited facility, very rare. We are so fortunate in Butte County to have this type of facility and to have someone of Roberta's stature that is caring for, yes, tigers and lions and bears. I thought you would jump in.
Yeah.
So I know that you probably have one in your lap right now, Roberta. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, I do. I actually do have a Eurasian leopard that just came in, Eurasian lynx. You can tell I'm a little nervous.
Yes.
In my lap, being bottle fed.
Now how did you come by this lynx?
You know, from out of state, we got a call about a baby that was 4 weeks old that the mother would not take care of. The facility didn't have the resources that we have in our area, also with the veterinarians that are here, local vets that aren't part of the foundation. So we met them in Texas and brought him home, and he'll be a permanent resident. He was having problems with the mother and then with the formula and had a little bit of an upper respiratory problem. And we believe every animal should have a home.
Right.
So he's going to be a new member of the family.
And how old did you say this?
He's 4 weeks old.
4 weeks. Wow.
Weighed 1 pound and 6 ounces when we received him.
Now, you have some very rare animals at Kirshner Wildlife Foundation. They are extremely rare, and I don't think people in Butte County understand just how rare they are. I remember probably several years ago now, I held a baby liger, I believe it.
Right.
At the time, it was a baby liger. And can you tell people a little bit about what a liger is and how you came to have a cat such as a liger and what the challenges are with this animal?
You know, ligers are, the father is a lion, the mother is a tiger. And the reason that we have this animal is because it was born with a birth defect where the legs were bowed. It was having trouble getting around. The facility didn't have the funds to do what they felt was necessary, and we were interested in taking the animal and give it quality of life and see what we could do to help it to have a more life that was where the animal would be sound and pain-free. And so we started doing physical therapy, and with the guidance of the veterinarian, a different nutrition problem that helped the animal to straighten out, taught the animal to put its legs on the fence and pull down to help straighten the tendons, because originally they felt that maybe it would have to have surgery. And within 9 months, one of the legs was at least 80% straight. The other one was 40%. We kept working with it. And we also did hand physical therapy, rubbing, massages. We're a 24-hour care facility, so we rotated 4 shifts. So we regulated the exercise on the animals as it was growing. We had to watch the weight on the front legs and monitor the food intake, and also the size of the enclosures. We had to make a number of different size enclosures for it to watch that it wasn't overdue its exercise. And, you know, with having someone monitoring it all 24 hours a day through the evening also, we were able to have the animal not have the surgery. It came out with the legs are, one is 100%. And the other one's about 90% straight. It has no pain. You'd never know it if you looked at it. It's, the animal is amazing.
Now, is it true that these ligers have a genetic challenge as well?
Right. That was part of the problem also, because they have no growth inhibitor gene. So it was growing, and at the facility they, you know, are having problem balancing its nutrition diet, which is part of the problem that when we received it, we were able to figure out why it was having so much problems with the growth. It's a growth inhibitor gene. They also wanted us to have it to do research, non-invasive research, that we could help other facilities with animals of this type that had the same problems or something similar, because with this breeding, it's unknown. There's not a lot of research on them, and there's so many now that some of this was started by accident. You know, lions and tigers were moved in a trailer, and they bred. And when they reached where they were supposed to live, there were babies born, you know, and that's how it really got started.
So now there is the other animal that we are going to talk about is similar, but there are very few of these animals in the world. And what do you call them?
A Thai liger.
A Thai liger. Now, can you explain the difference between that?
A Thai liger is a liger bred to a tiger, and it's what is produced. It's called a Thai liger. There are only 6 of them in the United States, and they have no research on them because it's something new. And so we have this one was given to us for us to monitor it, and so we could gather information for and share it with other facilities. The facility that where it was born had produced 2, and they gave one to us because they knew that if there were any problems, that we would catch it in the beginning and do whatever was necessary to give the animal quality of life and the help that it might need. And we're also raising it with a tiger cub just so we can compare the difference between the tiger and the Thai liger. And it's information that hasn't been gathered before, and it helps with conservation. This is, you know, a hard thing. We're not a breeding facility. We're a sanctuary, and 87% of all our animals are special need. Then we're a 24-hour facility. We're also accredited as a school, so students can come in, and interns and volunteers can come in and get 15 transferable units for volunteering or doing an internship with us. So we have a lot of resources with the from right here in our own community that a lot of other places don't have. And financially, they have, you know, a different overhead where there's a problem on an animal, they cast them away. You know, they don't always have the money to keep them going. And there's a lot of animals that we get that were the last stop, and they would be euthanized because of the cost of taking care of these animals. A lot of people aren't aware a tiger eats $100 worth of food every 3 days.
Right. I think, you know, most people don't even consider what a tiger eats. And I've been around that place at feeding time, and it's pretty amazing. If you've just joined us, this is Butte Views and Beyond. I'm your host, Deborah Lucero, and we're talking with Roberta Kirshner with the Kirshner Wildlife Foundation, which is located out by Butte College, not very far from downtown Chico. And it's amazing to me that we've got a population center here in Chico of, say, 89,000 people. And interestingly enough, that's about the number of people that visited your facility last year. Isn't that correct?
We're a mobile unit also. We did around 62,000. We just finished taxes. So, you know, that's a pretty close number.
Wow.
Some of that is the mobile unit also. And we're in Butte County and surrounding areas.
So how many of those are children, Roberta?
From the records, we have about 74% are children.
74%.
And we're the only facility in the United States that does it in 9 languages and 8 levels of education. And we're in an area where we're quite fortunate. A lot of volunteers speak more than one language. So, you know, we're able to open the doors to a lot of visitors from all over the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, so you have about 100 animals there. How long have you been in existence, Roberta? And you used to be in Durham, and you made this move out by Butte College, kind of in the center of the county. How long have you been out there now?
It's almost 5 years.
Oh, that's so amazing.
More months, it'll be 5 years here. We've been in the county 21 years, and wonderful area. We love it.
Let's talk more about, you know, you have some very rare snow leopards, and I don't remember the number that are left. I mean, we're talking in the entire world, and in Butte County, we have 2 of them. How many are left? Like 160 or something like that?
Right. The number, you know, varies, and this year's count between 125 and 160.
And we have 2 in Butte County, 2 that you can go out and see, and they are the most beautiful animals. And I was just recently out there, and the little girl that was with me said those were her favorite animals in the world, and she could not believe that they were out in Butte County. She had no idea they were here, and she got to see one in real life. That was kind of a highlight for her.
You know, it's amazing when you see the children's eyes light up. It's just so rewarding. We have a clouded leopard. We have one clouded leopard, and we have another one coming in about 3.5 months, and they're critically endangered also. And people look at them, and they don't know what they are. We have a ringtail cat, and very few people, which is native to our area right here in Butte County, but yet there are very few people, and especially children, that have ever seen them. Same with our fishing cat. So we have a lot of unusual animals that the children learn about, and they'll be the future. And so conservation of these animals lie in their hands. And the more education we give them, the more likely these animals will be able to survive for future generations.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, I also want to just talk about the bears that you have, because those are relatively newcomers to your facility. You didn't really used to have bears, did you? But now you have the full-on lions and tigers and bears. And they're unusual bears.
Right. We have, at the other facility, we didn't have the room for them. I've worked with bears most of my life. And we have European brown bears, and they're very unusual because the gypsies used to use them. They used to be in circuses. Compared to our black bears, which we have our local animals, these are characters. I mean, if you walk by and these animals have watermelon, you have to watch it because they actually eat the center of the watermelon and dip watermelon in the buckets and throw the water at the visitors. You constantly have to give them an enrichment program that keeps them busy. You never know if they're going to teeter-totter on their rock or if they're going to throw things at the visitors, oranges or apples.
Oh,
so they're
goodness.
Busy, to where the black bears are very lethargic. And it's good for the children to see our native species and then see animals that are not native to our own area.
Now, are they just naturally like that, the European bears? They're just maybe a little more, I don't know.
Active.
Yeah, they're just active,
yeah,
so they just want to be active.
They're extremely easy for a bear to train compared to other species. We've used them on TV shows quite a bit and started them. And both of these had... We're born with birth defects. The one had a crooked leg, so the facility raises animals for other wildlife license parks and zoos and that. And because of the leg, they were having problem selling it or placing it. And we took it and put in enrichment that actually helped it. It had to climb a little, go up and down. And we trimmed its nails so that it would walk a little bit crooked to straight the leg, almost like you trim a horse's hoofs.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the nutrition program set up by the veterinarians were a big part of why this animal is healthy and straight now. You have to really look close to see that he's crooked.
Now, you mentioned some of the TV shows. Where have some of your animals appeared?
We've been on Jay Leno, Jimmy Kimmel, Chelsea Lately, Wake Up America, Good Morning America, Larry King Live.
Wow.
We've been on Hallmark. We've worked for Disney.
So these
Conan
are all...
Conan O'Brien.
You know, and the thing about it is that, and what I really want to get the word out there is that although that sounds glamorous, you have to get the animals there. You have to send someone down there. You have mostly volunteers. You have tigers that eat $100 every other day, and lions and bears. And so if someone wanted to assist you or even become an intern or do a summer stint with you, Roberta, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
They can call us at 533-1000 or come by the foundation at 4995 Durham Pence Road.
Okay, and you also have a website. It's... Kirshner
Kirshner.org.
Right, Kirshner.org. So again, this is Deborah Lucero. I'm your host on Butte Views and Beyond. And Roberta Kirshner has just told us a little bit about A Little Bit of Paradise that features, and it's not, and it's just outside of Paradise, actually, and it features lions, tigers, and bears. This summer, if I were you, I would take my children to go see these incredible animals. There's a small fee to get in. Every bit of that money goes to the care of the animals and to assist Butte County in having this cultural treasure right outside of the gates of Chico. I'm sure that Roberta would love any kind of donations. Can donations be made at Kirshner.org?
You can on our website, or they can send it to P.O. Box 841 Durham, 95938.
Can you repeat that one more time?
841 Durham.
841 Durham. And it's
95938.
95938. All right, you heard it here, folks. You know, if you got a little bit of change sitting around, that would be so awesome. And then make sure you take your kids, your grandkids, a special friend, a niece, a nephew. Take your husband. Go on a date. Go on a date and visit the Kirshner Foundation. Go see some lions and tigers and bears. And oh my, there's also like an alligator, I believe.
Yeah.
There's birds. There is a coyote. There are, just name off about five more animals, of course.
Foxes, bobcats, lynx, servos, caracals, quadamundis, the alligator, deer, wallaby.
You name it. It's out there, and it's all right here for Butte County residents to enjoy. Well, thank you, Roberta.
Thank you.
I really appreciate having you come on, and hopefully we can get some donations coming in to the Kirshner Wildlife Foundation. They are always in need of something. Right now they have a special project to complete some lighting down at the cages. Believe it or not, there is no lighting available down there and at night, and they would love to be able to install some lights. So if there are some electricians out there or someone who would love to assist the Kirshner Foundation, please give her a call at 533-1000. That's the Kirshner Wildlife Foundation. Kirshner.org, and it's K-I-R-S-H-N-E-R. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Butte Views and Beyond is brought to you by Friends of the Arts and Sierra Nevada. And I think we're going to go to a little bit of a musical break right here on KZFR.
feeling quite weird. There were flies in my beard. My toothpaste was smeared. Over my window they'd written my name. They said, so long, we'll see you again. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride? Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?
All right, Moon Alice. That is Mr. Spaceman, just in case you didn't catch the title. And Moon Alice is going to be at Chico Women's Club tomorrow night. KZFR is presenting this concert. Doors are at 6. The show's at 7:30. It's $15. This, again, is a KZFR presentation. Wes Wilson did the poster, and I don't know if we've got it up on our website, but it is one psychedelic poster, and it is cool, and you're going to want this. You can go to more information at kzfr.org. Again, Moon Alice, we just heard a little bit of Mr. Spaceman tomorrow night at the Chico Women's Club. Doors at 6, show at 7:30. Okay, and in studio with me, I'm Deborah Lucero, and this is Butte Views and Beyond, and I have in studio a couple of guests that I'm really excited to introduce. These are two young men that journeyed far, far away and have come back around to our little home here in Chico. John Land. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, Deborah?
And Skylar Sabine.
Hi. Hello.
All right. So let's just start, and you guys can jump in wherever you feel like it, but let's talk about where you've been and why you traveled there, and let's fuel the imagination of our radio listeners out there. Let's start with you, John.
All right. So, thanks for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be here.
All right.
I grew up in Chico, and in 2006, I had a camera and was filming my, back then it was called MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
Making videos for my MySpace.
You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was a long time ago. And I basically, was shooting at the Matchstick Factory before it was all whatever's happened to it now, and hanging out and watching the Chico art scene kind of grow, and decided to explore my visual arts and move to Los Angeles. And then after moving to LA, I was there for about a year and commuting back and forth from Chico. And then I ended up in New Orleans right after Katrina.
Wow.
And I went over there because I actually made a YouTube video that you can see from 2006 it's still on my MySpace account, like today.
You still have a MySpace?
I still have a MySpace account.
They
I found out.
MySpace account?
Yeah, they actually, it's still on
it's
there.
It's still around.
Everything
wow.
there, yeah. yeah. And there's a video right before I left. I said, if you're someone that likes to talk about doing things, you should probably just go out there and do it instead of just talking about it. And
right.
I said, I'm going to go to New Orleans, and because everyone's talking about trying to help other people or whatnot. So I'm going to go out there and just see what I can do and try and, tell the story. Or
visually.
Visually, yeah. As a photographer and as a video kind of artist at the time, trying to figure out how to – it was an emerging medium, because video cameras, it only now became to where the quality was enough that
right.
you could film it and it would look –
Three chips,
at a consumer level. Whereas today, now you can document on your iPhone or whatever. Lots changed in the last 10 years.
So I'm trying to imagine you as this, like 19-year-old kid? 20?
No, I was 25.
25?
Yeah.
Okay, so 25-year-old kid. You go out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you document and what happened? How did that change your life?
Well, I started putting my blogs up on MySpace back then.
Yeah.
So you can actually see, if you go to my MySpace account.
So is it John Land?
Yeah, it's called Cloud City Productions.
Cloud
is the name.
City Productions.
Yeah, that was the original company that I had in Chico. And basically, when I was there, the first thing is, no one really understands what it's like to see a city go from zero people and zero populace to now a thriving community again, because they evacuated everyone out of the city and pretty much the state. It was pretty obviously everyone watched TV, and So the first 2 years there after the storm, it was really just a readjustment period and figuring out where to work. But there was a booming film industry. And so I got really lucky and got to work in the emerging film market. And because of my experience and, you know, that I had in making blogs and doing that sort of stuff, I fit right into training and worked as like a, in a training capacity to bring up young filmmakers and young youth in film. And then I use, you know, that's, Skylar was actually one of the first people I called. I think I was there like 2 weeks and setting up a post-production like facility. And I called Skylar and said, you got to get out here. There's a lot of work and it's a good opportunity to make some money and, you know, use your skill set. Because I know in Chico at the time, it wasn't, you know, happening the same way.
Sure.
And this was all because the state ran, you know, they were bringing the business there, if you will.
So they were creating incentives to bring in large film producers and say, come help build our state back up.
Yeah, and the best part about that was is that's the other reason that made me want to stay there is because they offered 40% infrastructure tax credits for anybody. So all I had to do was just go start a business there. And if I bought cameras or if I bought equipment or anything there, they paid 40%.
Wow.
So that's a huge incentive for any young business person. At 26, I could get a loan. You know, I was figuring out business plans. And then from there, the rest is history. You know, I spent 10 years there.
Wow.
And, or nine, I should say. Yeah. And the, you know, it's just a whole new business there. They're making $150 million movies now there. And it's number one, I believe, in the United States for film production now. And
sounds pretty wet and hot down there.
Yeah. And, it, you know, it's not where family is. And my whole family's from here. And it's also, it, you know, 9 years in a place like that, when you come from a place like Chico, it's hard to want to stay there and build my family or try and move on to the next stages. And
all right, so then let's turn to Skylar for a minute.
Sure.
No, that's okay. So Skylar, you get the call, sounds like.
I got the call from John, yeah, to go down there and shoot a movie. And I thought, wow, how exotic, go down to Louisiana and shoot this movie. I'd never been there before. And you're not kidding, it's hot and wet there. And, you know, most of these productions we've done, we've shot quite a few over the past, 6 years or so.
Yeah.
They're usually shot in the summertime, so you're dealing with, you know, sweltering hot days and nights and insects galore like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of insects.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's for the adventure. It's for the adventure for sure. You learn how to cope.
Learn how to cope. So you found yourselves drawn back to Chico. What drew you back? And I know that, you know, what I hear a lot, and as someone who's interested in this, because I, you know, want my kids to be able to do things that are meaningful here in Chico and also to make a living, what are you finding here today after having left and then come back? What do you think some of the opportunities are, and what, you know, what are some of the benefits and the pitfalls?
You have a thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like we're at the cusp of a big technology boom. And I see Butte College has invested money in their media arts program, and Chico State has done the same. But that's just as of this year.
Yeah.
This isn't last year. This is brand new.
Right.
And I've toured both facilities and met the instructors out there. And I think that they're great, like, opportunities for young students to take college courses and really work in, like, a cutting-edge video technology place.
Right.
And or education center, I should say. And then on top of that, I see photo clubs and I see visual arts, like, communities everywhere. Like, there's one in Red Bluff that's been around for 20 years that has a very, very strong, like, backing. And they work with the State Park and Rec to shoot different nature-type walks and whatnot.
Sure.
And I just went to the event at the Matador.
Was the Art of the Matador.
Yeah, and that was beautiful.
Wasn't that so fun? Yeah.
Yeah, the vendors are all great, and they're all photographers. And the guy, his name's Josh Funk, is a local artist that's doing stop animation for, and he graduated Chico State.
Really talented, for those of you who haven't heard of him, Josh Funk.
Oh, yeah, yes. He's really good.
Mm. He actually did the animation at the Capitol down in Sacramento, the video that runs down there. Yeah, he did the intro animation.
Yeah, his stuff was very impressive that he had set up there. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, room for growth. But I think that we'll see those artists coming here from Pittsburgh or from Idaho or whatever to come take those courses at Chico State or at Butte and really build a community for communications and for visual arts. And, you know, because that whole game is changing right now anyways.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the way that your business grows now is through online advertising, small video production and photography, you know, branding.
Well, and we have Video Maker Magazine that's been here for, you know, they started here. They bring in people all the time that are taking advanced video classes, and they are right here in our own backyard. And something else that's coming to Chico, and it's actually been in Chico for 30 years and been in Willows and Orland and Corning and Red Bluff, parts of Red Bluff, Paradise, Oroville, is BCAC TV. It was formerly known as Channel 11. Mm-hmm. And so Friends of the Arts has actually become the second arts council to run a public access television station in the state of California. And a lot of people said, what does television have to do with the arts? What do you guys think about that question? What do you think?
Well, I think that's poignant, and I think that underscores how television is viewed these days.
Yeah. So if you had to answer that question, as I have had to answer that question, what's the answer?
What does television have to do with the arts?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll take that one.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Television is a form of artistic expression that's one of the highest, along with film and TV. It's a big magic trick to put together what happens on the screen. And it takes a large team of carpenters, journeymen, craftsmen, artists, and
writers, musicians, actors, performers.
Yeah,
it's an amazing
everything
array
that
of
you can
of
imagine.
Artists, it
administrators,
is.
Administrators, yeah.
And only today, in this time, in 2015, are all the tools available to make a level playing field that everyone's available now to actually do it. In 2015, we're given the paintbrush for the very first time. I would have said they don't have much to do together in 2006.
Yeah.
And I would have said that in other years. But this year, 2015, the way that it's set up now and the amount of information from YouTube to Butte College, you know, like you can actually become very skilled at whether it be camera or a new program very quickly now because the information's out there. And it's basically set up for the pipeline for broadcasting now is much easier to run. It's mostly automated, whereas in the past it took several operators or physical people to actually broadcast video. Right. So, yeah, I feel it's an emerging market, and it's exciting that you guys are a part of it at the cusp, at year one, if you will.
We're excited that our own state local partner, Friends of the Arts, is going to be running the television studio at 500 Main Street, right across from Hasbeens. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about the very first thing that BCAC.TV coming soon to an internet near you. It's not quite up yet, our streaming or any of that, but we do have something coming up, and that is a summer camp. And I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about the summer camp.
We're really excited about that. We just went to Fairview High School last week and gave a presentation to a really great group of youngsters there that were just hungry for the information we were giving to them. And we've got 9 or 10 students who signed up for this 3-week workshop where both John and myself will lead them through a pretty hands-on and intensive but basic crash course into video and filmmaking. And we'll be taking them actually to the Kirshner Wildlife Foundation, and the students will, after a week of our instruction, the students will then be thrown into producing their own 3 to 5 minute promotional video for the Kirshner Wildlife Foundation. And we're really excited about the prospects of that.
And what I'm so excited about is it's been my dream for so long as someone who's been involved with Friends of the Arts for the past 14 years to bring more focus on our nonprofit organizations and to somehow involve young people in the fabric of community and to understand that these organizations create this beautiful quilt that we all, you know, wrap around us every day, but we don't understand how that quilt gets here.
Yeah.
And I want them to understand this is how it gets here. I mean, you heard Roberta. If these kids go out there and they get turned on by this place, they could become an intern. They can actually get credits, you know, for going out and learning all the things that they could learn out there. But what I want is what you guys end up producing with these students will actually assist Roberta in her endeavors.
Absolutely.
And to me, that's what is so strong about this medium. It's just an incredible way. It can move people to do things that no other can. I mean, I love the written word. I was a journalist for many years. But when you see pictures and film together and music and people and just everything coming together, it can be very, very powerful. And so I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
And for the first time, we live in a world where it's a global audience.
Yes.
You know, it's not just Butte County, and because their work is global work. You know, the Kirshner Foundation and the and education and young kids is global work, you
right.
know. So everyone can get behind those things, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. It's going to be a fun summer.
Yeah. It is going to be fun.
And I think on the flip side of that, there's so much talk about global, and we've all been sort of conditioned to be thinking on these larger global scales. And here we have the opportunity to really present with the intrinsic value of a regional broadcast station, and that's to really to create entertainment that is relevant to us, to our community, to our neighbors, to this region here.
Exactly.
And all these kids these days, you know, so many kids have access to cameras and to video, and they're putting stuff on YouTube or whatever, and they're all trying to go viral. And really, I think what we can emphasize here is to create vital content that is necessary to the region that we're in.
Right. Yeah. And that's been lost, you know, as more and more, I mean, here we are talking about this on what? Community radio
that's
station,
right.
A 25-year-old community radio station with all volunteer people, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a few staff members to keep it all running and make sure that they hit all the FCC requirements. But that's what it's about. And that's what this public access station could be also. We have 100 different programs, unique programs just on KZFR. Imagine the visual equivalent to that at some point in the future. And, of course, we're in year one.
Yeah.
KZFR is in year 25.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way everything is sped up, I could see some of these wonderful programs becoming very visual programs on the public access station.
Yeah, we really want to change the word, like Skylar said. It's I'm just going to reiterate the there's viral videos, but we want to create vital videos, like vital
like
to
it.
Community, vital to information, and vital to education. You know, and that way, you know, it's content that's uplifting and that people can get behind and really become educated in these amazing things that are happening in our own backyard, like Kirshner Foundation and
yeah,
all these other things.
Such an amazing place. And there's so many stories like that. They are all over this valley.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever remember, do you remember Huell Hauser? Okay, Huell Hauser, he kind of talked like this, and he was from Tennessee.
All
and,
right.
Yeah, and he did this incredible show on public television, and it was one of those silly shows. Do you mean to tell me this is the largest rock in, you know, wherever it was?
Yeah.
But during this process, you would learn something about all these incredible places in California, and we have that opportunity right here, right now, to do the exact same kind of thing for our area. And there are so many of these places. We all know them. If you grew up here, you know all the secret little spots.
Yeah.
You know the ones that you want to talk about. And we want to do the downtown, you know, Chico haunted tour. You know, we want to do the secrets of the region, just like Huell would have done if he were here. But anyway, we're going to take another little musical break, and then we're going to come back and just talk a little bit more about my guests tonight are actually John Land and Skylar Sabine, and they are filmmakers who have returned to Chico to practice their craft with BCAC.TV, and I think good things are coming. So let's take a listen to Moon Alice. All right, that's Layla. Layla by Moon Alice. KZFR presenting Moon Alice tomorrow at the Chico Women's Club. Doors at 6, show at 7:30. $15, and there are going to be some psychedelic Wes Wilson posters. And they really are cool. And so you don't want to miss out. That, again, is Moon Alice tomorrow night at the Chico Women's Club. You can find out more information at kzfr.org. And while you're there at kzfr.org, you should know, because John just brought this up, that he has friends who listen to this radio station all over the world, and they listen to it because they can. And we have a free app. If you go to the App Store right now, iTunes App Store, you can download this app. It's a KZFR app. It's free. You can carry KZFR with you on your smartphone wherever you go. So I would encourage you to do that. It's pretty cool to be able to just whip out your phone and put on KZFR wherever you are. All right, so we've come back. My guest, my name is Deborah Lucero, and this is Butte Views and Beyond. And it's one of my favorite things to do is just to interview interesting people and talk about interesting, beautiful places right here in the North Valley. I have with me John Land and Skylar Sabine, who, after making some journeys around the country and touching other places and other people, decided that maybe their homeland back here in Chico was a good place to be. And they're back here, and that sounds like they're going to be doing some projects. I know they're going to be working with BCAC.TV, and they're also going to be hosting a summer camp. One thing you said, John, and Skylar, one thing I really loved was vital, not viral.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a discussion in and of itself, you know. How do we get there? Because we've trained, you know, this whole young generation of people to really focus on doing something that's going to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you change that thinking around, you know, to go back to, you know, the qualities that make something vital?
Well, I think it has to do with how the community responds to the content or to the message, the entertainment that they're putting up, and that's what's so unique about having a regional broadcast, is that you get real personal interaction and feedback. You're not just looking for clicks and likes and comments in a thread from people that have no real accountability to you, but you're going to have real face-to-face interactions with people who have seen your show, who've seen your work, who are acknowledging and celebrating you, or maybe they're asking you some tough questions and maybe criticizing a bit. And either way, that's all really necessary to the growth of every individual.
Right, and to a community.
You
know, the hope that I have is that we can have very diverse programming. I'd love to see a news show. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see neighborhood reporters. You know, we have our Chapmantown reporter, you know, we have our Canyon Oaks reporter, we have whoever it might be, but we have people out there that want to talk about what's going on in the area. And we have eyes, you know, we're going to take Neighborhood Watch just one more step. You know, it's going to be Neighborhood Vital.
Yeah.
Vital video coming from BCAC.TV. It's possible right now with your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You can be that reporter. And yeah. It is bringing accountability to the world. I mean, if we hadn't had some of the videos that we've had just in the news the past several months, who knows where our country would be.
That's really true. That's true.
Yeah,
I think that to just touch on that, how we're going to create vital videos or how you make the change from viral, it's sort of the field of dreams, you know, situation where if you build it, they will come. I mean, it's about producing the proper message and doing it in a way that is at a quality where people, when they watch it, can get the feedback. They can understand the message that's coming out of it. And our community has a very, very unique and strong message in the North State. And it's beautiful to hear the opinions and the really the side from the great people that make up the citizens of Butte County and the surrounding counties, Tehama and Shasta.
Right.
It's a really unique piece of land that, unless you're from here, you can't really explain it to anybody.
Right.
And so to give this place that type of voice and where they can actually be honest and just say how they feel about what it is that they're participating in, I think will be a lot of fun and entertaining.
And interesting.
And interesting,
yeah, and,
you know,
and very
sure.
interesting. Well, you know, this is a unique, BCAC.TV is unique in that it doesn't just cover Chico. There are literally two coverage zones. So it goes as far south as Willows and as far north as Red Bluff. And I think all of Corning is included in that, and just portions of Red Bluff, and then most of Butte County, Paradise, Oroville. So I think it's going to be interesting to create shows. I would love to see a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see a serial, you know, an old-fashioned, you know, just everyday kind of thing. I would love to see that, you know, about life in the North State. Who knows what that could come up with. A late night show, a baking show.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar, you have some awesome ideas.
We started doing a little outreach over the last few months and just gauging the excitement from the community. We've had so many people coming forward just completely amped up about a show that they would love to do, and I have the list here in front of me. Most recently, I've been talking with the guys over at the Fab Labs to try to get some of their stuff done in either a series format, or some short DIY kind of life hack things like that. And they seem to be really excited about that. Anyone who doesn't know about the Fab Labs should check them out. And there was a young girl I met there named Isabella, who her and her friends like to get together on weekends and make little kid talk shows. And she was just so excited. And I hope that she steps forward. And we have the cooking show. We have a stand-up show. There's a lot of stand-up comedians in the area. They would love to have a television venue to do that. Arts Uncovered, where we can go and get more in-depth and personal with some of these artists that you see and hear about around town. We've been talking with some of the art galleries as well to see how they can fit into this. 1078 Gallery and others. And we're also sourcing. There's a ton of really great content from our past. And part of the objective with our community television station is to be educational. And there's a whole branch of American history that's documented through TV shows and newsreels from the 40s and 50s. And we have a team that's working on reviving some of that content and making it more stylistic and relevant so that today's youth can still relate to the content that they're seeing.
That's so exciting. Yeah, I mean, really, things like that are amazing. And if we can do that for this community, I think that people are going to want to watch this channel. Now, if people are wondering how to get involved, bcac.tv will be online. We are hoping by August 1st. The offices will be open by August 1st, and they are at 500 Main Street, Suite 150. If you are interested in anything related to bcac.tv, please contact us the old-fashioned way. Send us a letter in the mail.
Whoa.
Okay?
What?
Now, I really want to, you know, here we are, we're talking about technology and everything else, but this is something I've learned about creating something that's vital, and that is, when you write something down, even if it's on a postcard, just try this. It's a weird concept, and it's actually a little expensive sometimes. 49 cents, I believe, now, or 53 cents for a stamp.
Wow.
But send us a letter. Tell us what you'd like to see on bcac.tv. That address is 500 Main Street, Suite 150, 95928. Again, 500 Main Street, Suite 150, 95928. All right. This has been Butte Views and Beyond. Again, my guests, John Land, Skylar Sabine, thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. Thanks
for having us. It's been great.
All right. So, just remember, Kirshner Wildlife Foundation, it's there for you this summer. Go out there, take a look, get on your lions and tigers and bears. I'm Deborah Lucero, and this has been Butte Views and Beyond. Butte Views and Beyond is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, producers of locally crafted ales and beer since 1981. The Sierra Nevada Brewing Company also offers fine dining at their tap room and restaurant at 1075 East 20th Street in Chico. More information at sierranevada.com.
peanut butter jelly time.
Way up.
Peanut butter jelly.